We were eating breakfast slash lunch yesterday at Taco Bell.
Mm-hmm. As we do, as we are wont to do.
As we normally do, yes. And
what was the special occasion yesterday? Why did we go to such a nice place? Do you remember?
No, it just seemed like it was some kind of anniversary or something.
Maybe for the holidays or something. We just thought we'd step it up a bit.
Can't remember exactly. But anyway, we go into Taco Bell, and I'm telling you that restaurants before they open, that's probably why the music gets turned up so loud.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because they're prepping
cleaning,
and doing whatever they have to do, and there's no customers. But once the customers comes in, you'd think they'd turn the music down a little.
Lisa, have you had experiences where the music sometimes is way too loud in the restaurant?
Oh, yeah.
I think part of it is that it's noisy back in the kitchen, and they have the music turned up loud so that they can enjoy it where they are with the machinery, and you're sitting out on the other side just at the table, and of course there's nothing else happening, so it's just way too loud.
That's question one. Question two is, how do you ever pick the Neil Diamond Christmas album?
Well, is that what they were playing?
How's that your musical selection for Taco Bell, for God's sake?
Yeah, I'd like a... Jingle bell,
rock.
I'd like a chalupa.
Jingle bell swing.
This is what it was like when we were sitting at the table. Kevin is about two seats away from me. And I said, Kevin, can you pass me the hot sauce? What? The hot sauce. Hand me some of that hot sauce.
What?
And there's nothing we can do about it. So we go up to the counter.
Gliding in a we say, but we can't hear.
They said, what?
And then we said, how do you pick Neil Diamond's album Blows?
And they said, huh?
They said, we can't hear you. The music's too loud.
I think they just don't want people to, I think they don't want people to eat inside the restaurant. I think they're trying to encourage their drive-out business.
You think they were trying to run us off?
Maybe. I don't know. That's what they did at Waco. For the purposes of the show, though, can we turn this off?
What?
Can you kill the music?
You can't hear you. The music's too loud.
Kill it. Get rid of the music.
Oh, turn it off.
Oh, my God.
Were your ears bleeding?
Yes.
I'm telling you.
God.
That's, I'm going to be completely honest. Not making this up for the funny man on the radio. That is not far from how loud it was in the restaurant. I mean, it hurt. I had the same thing happen to me on an airplane the other day. The flight attendant came on and started doing the announcements.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, I instantly, my hands and everyone else around me, their hands go right to their ears.
Well, they have more trouble with the volume on airplanes than any other place on Earth.
My God. And again, I know it's because they're in a different section of the plane and they don't realize what it's like when the speaker's 4 inches from your head.
Right.
But they come on and they start talking about, and the seatbelt. You can never understand a word they're saying.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. We're going to go up to about 22,000 feet and I'm going to turn off the fastened seatbelt sign.
Ouch.
Oh, my God. I can't even hear.
Well, we couldn't get anyone at the counter yesterday to talk to us at the Taco Bell about the music, but we thought maybe if we called, being big-time radio DJs or something.
Absolutely.
Maybe always works.
Maybe they can give us some sort of an explanation as to why it needs to be so goddamn loud.
I can't imagine it's preset.
Taco Bell, this is Ron.
Ron? Hey, it's Kevin and me. We're calling. We're on the air at K-Rock. We're right down the street from your Taco Bell location in Toluca Lake.
What's that?
Hi, it's Kevin and Bean. We're calling from K-Rock. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah,
what?
Good.
Is that Christmas music you have playing in the background?
Say that again?
Is that the Neil Diamond Christmas album that's still playing in the background?
Yeah, it is.
How do you pick Neil Diamond?
Oh, I don't pick the music.
Can you please turn it down?
Say that again?
Can you turn the music down, please?
Well, we're supposed to play the music at a set level.
What's that?
He said they have the music at a set level.
That's ridiculous.
Listen, we ate in your restaurant yesterday, sir, and the music was so loud that we could not even hear each other talking across a table.
It was too loud?
Yes. That's what we're saying. We're saying the music is way too loud. Don't you ever hear complaints from customers about it?
Well, actually, the customers seem to like it.
They don't like Neil Diamond, sir.
How do you know you can't hear them?
No, that's true.
Is that the only Christmas music you have is Neil Diamond?
No, we have a... It's on a set... It's a set tape that they send to all of us.
Yeah, you need to change the tape.
And turn it down.
This Neil Diamond Christmas CD just blows from every side.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Never mind.
How are those chalupas moving for you?
Oh, the chalupas are great.
Yeah, well,
very popular.
Please drop them, or whatever is your slogan is.
If you guys come down here, I'll comp you some chalupas.
Okay.
Oh, you'll take care of us on that, huh?
Good. Well, we would like to, but we can't ruin our ears any more than they already are.
Sorry, what'd you say?
Yeah, never mind.
All right, Mr. Taco Bell, nice to chat with you. Merry Christmas.
All right, happy holidays.
Right, you
bye
too.
Now.
Bye-bye.
It's unbelievable.
And the music just goes on like that all the time.
Oh, my God.
Serious, I'm not kidding when I say Neil Diamond. You heard it. What the hell?
At that volume?
Who is listening to Neil Diamond?
Anyone at Taco Bell.
I'm Jewish guy, should not be allowed to make Christmas records. I'm sorry, God, you know, I love Barry Manilow, no. Kenny G, no.
You're right. Jewish.
Jewish guys cannot make Christmas music. It just doesn't work.
We have been on this radio station literally for 250 years.
In fact, we remember back before there were such things as digital photos. There used to be a place you took them called the Photomat.
All right, let's talk about pictures for a minute. This may be the last chance that we'll get to talk about this because with the digital cameras coming around and the opportunity for you to print those pictures at home, things are changing a bit. Used to be you took pictures that you had to take in to get the film developed.
Right.
And then people would take the nude pictures or the topless pictures, and then the people that would develop them would keep their own little notebook.
Sure.
Of these wonderful, wonderful pictures.
You remember a number of years ago now, Kevin and I went to a photo lab to see how it works, to find out what it was like to do their job for a day. And they told us not only did they have a book under the counter with copies of every nude picture that had ever come through the door, but so did everyone at every photo lab across America. And by the way, not just nude, but just crazy stuff that mm-hmm. people do. You know, crazy stuff that happens when people are drunk or just bizarre stuff. You can't even understand how that picture was taken.
Here's an email. Hey, Kevin, I listen to your show every day. When you guys brought up the topic of working for a camera store, I had to drop you an email. I worked at Ritz Camera for 1 year, and there were so many ugly, disgusting pictures that we kept them in a box for laughs. There was this one guy who was a regular who actually asked me if I was turned on by the pictures of him nude.
Oh,
and
no.
If I would like to join in on the pictures.
No.
Oh, no.
And so she goes on to say, no, I did not join in on those pictures.
Well, you know, it's weird because I've never worked at a photo lab, but I certainly would, and I do it for free just for the opportunity to see these pictures. But you remember the one-hour photo movie with Robin Williams playing the creepy guy who develops pictures and then starts becoming obsessed with the family because you have access to every, you know, kind of private moment of that family, all the pictures that they take of birthdays and holidays and everything, and he felt like he had become a member of the family because he knew them so well through their photos.
Hey, guys, I was listening this morning, as I do, during my very long, sucky, traffic-filled morning commute, and heard that you were going to do a segment on one-hour photo labs tomorrow. According to your intro, it was supposed to be about all the juicy pics that come through and what the lab employees do with them. You may want to ask the people that call in how long ago they worked at the lab, if they currently work, and who they work for, because today's privacy laws have changed. In a lab, if a lab tech was to get caught copying pics or even showing them or discussing them with somebody else, they could get popped with heavy fines or even lose their job.
No kidding.
Yeah, so they're cracking down on this kind of thing.
Okay, but they still have to look at them to adjust for color and stuff, right?
Of course, of course.
And to print them, right.
You still are going to have your naked pictures looked at by somebody.
Well, and a lot of these people have worked at these stores for a long time. I'll give you a perfect example. I go to the Longs by my house, mm-hmm. and I used to take my film there to get developed. And they've got that gigantic drawer full of pictures that you go – you just have to go in and look for yours.
Yeah, Costco's the same way.
Yeah, and you don't ask anyone. You just go look for yours. And if they're there, you take them, and if not, whatever. But people, you would see people sitting there looking at their pictures to kind of make sure that they were all there or whatever, that they came out nicely.
Sure.
And it occurred to me that nobody was there helping them or making sure that they were looking at their own pictures. So I thought, well, if that's the case, then I could just go in and start going through other people's pictures to look for nudity. And the worst thing that possibly could have happened. And that is that I saw a girl topless in the first roll of pictures that I found.
Oh, no.
Oh, so now you're hooked.
Now he's there for hours a day.
I pulled out somebody else's pictures, and I started going through. I was like, she took this boyfriend or somebody took pictures of her topless. This is awesome.
And then I had them developed at a Long's drugstore.
Yes.
What else are you going to do?
And I was looking around at Long's to see if anybody was watching me. I was like, this is so great. I'm going to start looking through everybody's pictures. And, of course, there were no more after that. I could not find anybody else's that had any
But you looked at so many boring kids' birthday parties,
oh,
didn't you?
Just trying to find that next one of nudity.
You know, when I was working, it's been a few months now, but when I was working at the Abu Ghraib prison, some friends of mine and I, what we did is we put the prisoners in a naked pyramid.
I don't think that was you.
It was so awesome. And everything was going great. It was so much fun. And then we sent them off to the Iraqi one-hour photo, and oh, did they make copies. Oh, did hell break loose.
Yes, it did. All right, Pearl in Anaheim. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi, Pearl.
Hey, Pearl, you're working for a photo lab for a while, were you?
Yep. It was an awesome job. I saw some of the craziest things ever.
Why do you think people took the kind of pictures that they took that you ended up laughing at?
You know what? I'm not sure, but the thing is, you know how you can do one-hour photo, or mm-hmm. you can, like, drop it in the bin?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you drop it in the bin, nobody sees them because it's an automated machine. But stupid people gave them to us.
You mean if people hand them to you physically, then you have to do them?
Right. But if they drop it in the one that takes like 2 or 3 days or whatever, then it's done through a machine because it's sent to a high volume company.
And what kind of crazy stuff did you see?
My favorite one was probably a naked man. You could tell they're just taking pictures and they were drunk, and he ended up in his driveway on a unicycle.
A naked man on a unicycle.
Uh-huh.
I hope it had a bike seat. Yes, okay.
And he still managed to stay on the unicycle and hold his beer.
Oh, look at that.
Funny.
And he wasn't using his hands either. That's the amazing thing. All right. Thank you for the call, Pearl.
No problem.
Bye now. All right. Let's go to Ron in Los Angeles. Good morning, Ron.
Hi, good morning.
You worked in a lab.
Hi, Ron.
Worked in a lab near UCLA.
Right.
And what kind of stuff did you see?
We get high seasons and low seasons of drunken orgy parties.
Oh, nice.
Friends and sororities. Right. And usually around the end of quarters and beginning of quarters, that's when they start the partying.
Right.
It's great working next to colleges. And my store manager used to have an album. Well, we couldn't have an album because the way it was set up, it was pretty obvious that other people could see. So what he would do, he would take one of the envelopes where the customers would pick up their photos, but he would make a bogus name so no one would pick it up, and he'd just store all the photos there in private.
Smart.
Oh, I gotcha. Hey, these sorority girl parties, I mean, totally just like naked pillow fights and stuff like that, I imagine?
Pretty much just piles of bodies everywhere.
Yeah, a lot of them topless. That's all good. Angela from Sun Valley. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Tell us about your pictures and what happened to them.
Actually, I took them in to get developed. I went there at lunchtime.
What were they?
There were somewhat nude photos, topless photos, some girls making out. That
fantastic.
Whole thing.
Just God a bless Angela. You know, girls' nice. Day out. Sure.
Just a regular Saturday night at Lisa May's house. We got it.
Absolutely.
All right.
So I took them in and went to pick them up that evening, and they didn't have my photos. They said, oh, we have no idea where they are. They looked everywhere for them.
We don't know what you're talking about.
They disappeared.
Did you drop photos off? Oh, that's too bad. We can't find them.
Exactly. So they said, come back the next day and talk to the person that you gave them to. Did that. She said, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have them anywhere.
Awesome.
You know, called this number that did nothing. So
that's
somewhere
so great.
I have photos out there.
Somebody is looking at them right now, and you are in one of those books.
Yes.
The people keep them in. All right, hold on, Angela. Thank you.
Let's give her an extra small T-shirt. Put her on hold.
Let's go to Beverly in Whittier. Good morning, Beverly.
Good morning, guys. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Beverly.
I'm very worried about your phone call.
Oh, don't be worried.
Okay.
I no longer work for the company, so I'm not worried.
All right, go ahead.
Well, I used to work for a company that would do the 3-day bin drop-off.
Mm-hmm.
And we would pick up from certain stores. And one day, my friend and I, we were working at customer service, and she said, you got to look at these pictures. I said, okay. Well, here's Grandma in front of a nice trailer home.
Did you say Grandma?
Yes, Grandma.
Oh, no.
And then we go through the photos. She's on a Harley in her leather with nothing in the bottom.
Grandma is on a Harley with an assless chaps.
Yeah, and spread eagle.
Oh, no. Spread eagle.
Yeah, it kind of... It, After 5 years, it still haunts me.
Oh,
I
no.
bet. I didn't even see the photo, and I'm going to be haunted by it.
You're telling me that not everyone has our sense of humor?
I'm telling you that I had a million-dollar idea, and the man is keeping me down. Probably the black man.
I'm always the one in trouble, and I'm so happy that this is happening for Bean now. I got an email that I'm going to read on the air.
Okay.
And, Bean, you're going to have to tell us what this is about because I'm not exactly sure. They don't mention what Bean did, but I'm going to read you the letter that was written to Bean. It was also CC'd to me.
Okay.
And it's from the registrar company. I guess Bean owns a website that's getting him in trouble. Okay.
One of my websites is getting me in trouble?
Now, we hear all the time, oh, I didn't know that was real, that Bean already owns those websites. I thought you were just kidding. No, he really owns, like, I don't know, 25 websites or something like that. And one of them has gotten him in trouble. So I want to read this to everybody because this is going to be great. Dear Bean, please note that we recently received a complaint from a representative of the NAACP regarding your domain name. In its complaint, the NAACP requested that we cancel registration of the domain names.
Oh, black man can't own a website?
You're not black.
While we have the absolute right to cancel any domain name under our registration agreement with you, we have decided not to cancel the domain name at this time. Now, already at this point, I'm saying, what domain name is it that's getting them in trouble? So I'll read on. We do not wish to create the appearance that we approve of racially motivated domain names.
Like, what can they be talking
young
about?
Young, hot, and Asian.
However, he does have young, hot, and Asian,
doesn't he?
He
does, yeah.
Well, they're not complaining about younghotandasian.com from the NAACP, are they?
In fact, we prefer not to be associated with any domain name that is obviously racially objectionable.
Okay.
Well, I don't think I have any like that at all.
Therefore, inasmuch as it appears that the domain name that you have registered with us falls into that category, we have discontinued any free DNS service we were providing in relation to domain names. That includes your use of the park servers, for sale pages, forwarding, and or masking. Our action prevents your domain names from being directed to GoDaddy.com. Now, we are sending this notice as a courtesy to you so that you can make changes in the DNS associated with the domain names if you so choose.
In other words, they'll continue to let me register it with them. They'll host it for me, but I can't put up a website using their services.
What have you done? NAACP have against one of your websites?
Well, why doesn't the NAACP crawl out of my ass, for starters? What did I ever do to them?
But why don't they tell us what the website
is? Yeah, what is it?
List your websites. Go down. Bean really does own like 27, 28 websites.
And does something with two of them.
go through the websites that you own and read them to
us. Of course, I can't think of all of them off the top of my head,
but I don't
think younghotandasian.com is the one that they would have a complaint with, because who can have any complaint about young hot Asians? I mean, seriously.
Younghotandasian.com. Okay, so I mean, it's probably not that one for NAACP. Have you done anything with that one yet?
Not so much.
No. Are you planning to?
It depends if I can get the photo shoot set up with intern Chris that I've been working on behind the scenes. If that happens, yes, absolutely. They wouldn't have any complaint about andygibb.com, I don't think.
No?
Right?
No.
It's the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People.
Okay. I own England Dan and John Ford Coley.com, but certainly they wouldn't care about that, right?
Well, no, but they should just beat you on the head for having it. England Dan and what?
John Ford Coley, right? How about RickDSucks.com? Could that be it?
RickDSucks.
I don't think the NAACP is a big fan of Rick's, do you?
Well, I mean, I don't think they're going to protect him.
No. Okay. I wouldn't think so.
But it's about time to get rid of that one since he's a ghost.
Gone, yeah. RickDees is unemployed.com is the new one that I really had to. RickDees sadly is doing Toyota of Orange commercials for a living now is the new website that I ought to get. Let me see. Of course, Rick's boss over at KISS, RoyLaughlin.com. I still own that. But he's a jackass, but I don't think he would in particular be offensive to the NAACP. So that's not
so weird.
Of course, I've got Ryan Seacrest is allegedly gay.com. I do still own that.
Well, what are you doing with that one?
That one I really do need to get up and running now that he's on every TV show on Earth and has turned into just a giant tool. I really do have to get that one up.
So basically you just buy these websites with these plans, these great big plans to launch all the websites, but you don't really do anything
with
them.
Well, he gets distracted watching TV.
Yeah. I do watch TV. But here's what it is, guys. Websites are my thing, but it's no different then. And who hasn't done this? Who hasn't been in a bookstore and said, man, I don't have time now, but I'm going to buy this book because I believe one day I'm going to have the time. I'm going to be on vacation or something. I'm going to be able to sit down and read this and really enjoy it. But you just never get to it because you're busy.
Right, but
your life is busy.
Yes, but you have to pay for these websites each year to renew them.
But they're so inexpensive. They're like $8 a year. Right. You know, it's not a huge.
So it's probably not Ryan Seacrest is allegedly gay.com.
Could it be wreckoftheedmundfitzgerald.com?
No, they don't care about that. No one cares about that.
That's in it. KevinandBean.com.
Don't care.
JanelleMaloney.com.
She's an actress on the West Wing that Bean likes.
Yes, she is. Bean loves,
he
by the way.
He bought her website.
And creeped her out.
Yeah, we told her, and she's like, ew.
PabloCruz.com. I got
Pablo
that.
Pablo Cruz. Is he
HalloweenSpooks.com. I have HalloweenSpooks.com.
What are you going to do with that? Why would you buy that? What are you going to do with HalloweenSpooks.com?
I don't know, but you'll never know when there's an occasion for that.
There's
you
not going to be an occasion for a website. No, no. This is the worst song ever. I hate this song when it comes around that time of year.
Maybe that's what the NAACP is complaining about.
Halloween, Halloween, Halloween.
But why would you buy a website by that name?
Ah, how about this?
Wait a minute. We'll get to the list in a second. What do you plan on doing with that website?
Dude, I've got vision, man.
What is it?
I've got plans.
Give us a little taste. Drop a couple of breadcrumbs for us.
Yeah, but I don't want to spoil it because somebody else is going to get on my tip.
You know
how it is, man.
Yeah, sure.
Now, ClydeTumbaugh.com is one of my new websites.
Who's that? Is he black?
You know what? He's not. He's the guy who discovered Pluto. So I want to do a tribute site to Clyde Tumbaugh because he's a great American, but I don't think that would be NAACP territory either.
You're not going
to
do a website about a guy who discovered Pluto?
I am, because I thought that was very impressive.
Okay, not him. NAACP, they're upset about something. Tell me what it is.
Niggaplease.com? I don't know if that's the one.
What?
You think?
Are you kidding?
You own that?
You own that?
That's one of the – I didn't even think about that one.
Well,
as I was going over the list.
That's what they're upset about.
Oh, you think that's it?
Of course.
Oh, well, come on with that.
What are you going to do with that?
What are you going to do with that?
Bean, what's wrong with
you?
Yes.
I don't have a full plan worked out of what I'm going to do.
But why would you buy that website?
It's just,
you really own that?
It comes up so often. I mean, in conversation, you hear people saying, and it's always funny. And I thought, well, there's got to be some use for nigga, please. You know?
How do you spell him, please, big boy?
Hey, Bean, shut up.
Bean, you're a shithead.
Yeah.
You think that's it?
Did you go camping?
No. Let's be honest.
I don't really remember.
He doesn't remember any of it. Lightning was a Boy Scout, too.
Yeah.
Lightning got merit badges. Lightning got a merit badge in basket weaving.
Basketry.
Yeah. He did.
Dude, I'm a mother effing Eagle Scout.
What?
You can't say you got a merit badge in basketry and use the words mother effing Eagle Scout together in the same sentence.
You can't? Well, I
went
on to work in radio, so clearly I've made bad decisions.
Now, I know there are over 100 merit badges. And by the way, there are a million Boy Scouts in this country, too. So it's very much still alive and thriving. But I'm a little bit confused by, like, Lightning, you may remember, but a merit badge in bugling, for instance. Mm-hmm. Really? They give you a badge for being able to play taps or something? What's that all about?
There are quite a few strange merit badges. But yes, it's not just for playing taps. You have to master the instrument.
There's merit badges for coin collecting. There's merit badge for Indian lore. There's merit badges for dog care, for stamp collecting, for disability awareness, which apparently Bean hasn't received yet. There's a merit badge for nuclear science.
What?
Oh, my God.
There's a merit badge for fingerprinting. There's a merit badge for railroading. I don't know what these...
Remember we had a kid in here who was trying to get his radio merit badge.
That's right. I do remember that, yeah.
Railroading?
I thought it was all... Honestly, I thought it was like, like backpacking and whittling and things like that is what you got merit badges for.
Whittling, yes.
Well, here's why this story caught our attention. And this is really bizarre, but it's from the Los Angeles Times. The local Boy Scouts have connected up with the Motion Picture Association of America, and they're offering a new merit badge in the Respect Copyrights Activity Patch. And that's for Cub Scouts who go around, and Boy Scouts, who go around and tell other people that it's a bad idea to illegally download songs, movies.
Really?
Yes. So they can get a merit badge in the Respect Copyrights Activity Patch.
Yeah, that's no wilderness survival merit badge.
No, that's not. Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you at all.
You're getting a badge for not doing something.
For not downloading, essentially. Right. And for proselytizing other people to not download
illegally. Telling other people that's bad.
Right, exactly.
All right, we had to find out more about this because this is the first time I've heard of anything like this. So we asked Lightning to line up a spokesperson from the Boy Scouts of America, and we're pleased to welcome Mr. Clyde Wendler to the line. Hi, Mr. Wendler. Thanks for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Well, we're fine, but we just I think we're a little bit surprised as to the new areas that scouting is getting into. I mean, I know we're living in the, you know, the digital age, but what's this merit badge all about, sir?
Well, you're absolutely right. We're finding that scouts, I mean, scouting has been a tradition for obviously many, many years. We're finding that modern-day scouts are facing challenges and issues that scouts haven't before, and we like to keep up with the times, and we're trying to encourage our scouts to continue to be, you know, trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent.
Wow. What do they have to do for the Respect Copyrights Activity Patch?
What we're trying to do them is to encourage other youths that they spend time with to keep from downloading anything illegally, be that any copyrighted material, okay, be it films or music, to try to obey the law in every level. We're finding that young people who wouldn't in a million years consider walking into a store and picking up a piece of merchandise and walking out with it are having no problems at home in their computers downloading something illegally, and we're trying to keep them to be law-abiding citizens.
Well, I saw in the article, I mean, they interview some of the Boy Scouts who say, look, you know, if you're 14 years old and you don't really have the money to buy a CD and you have the opportunity to get it for free, you're going to go ahead and do that. And that's the kind of mindset that your organization is trying to stop.
Right. It is easy to do, and it is tempting to do, and we're trying to teach our scouts to rise above that. You know, we train young people in citizenship, service, and leadership, and that means obeying the laws even when it's inconvenient or it's tempting to do otherwise.
So do they have to have, like, a certain number of saves or something where they can come into you and say, yeah, I had five friends this week that tried to illegally download, and I talked them out of it?
It's not a quantitative decision we make. You don't need to, you know, to get notches on some sort of anti-piracy card or anything. But we do take it in consideration, and they have to have proven that they have tried to spread that word to the best of their ability. Sometimes they make up a poster that they hang in their schools, or sometimes we contribute in other ways to anti-piracy campaigns. But they can earn those badges, yes.
All right. Mr. Wendler on the line with us is the national spokesperson for the Boy Scouts of America. We're talking about the changing face of scouting. What other kinds of areas are you getting into in the Boy Scouts of the 21st century?
This year at our Scout Council, we have decided to add several new badges to try to reflect current conditions that young scouts are facing up against. A new badge we're offering also this year is the Turning In Your Parents for Having Drugs badge.
What?
Yeah, if you find your parents smoking the dope or they have some sort of marijuana in the home, you call the cops. You turn your folks in.
You turn your parents in.
Hey, it's not easy. We're not saying it's easy. We say it's a hard choice to make, but it's got to be done because they're pot-smoking pinkos and they need to go away. Need to do some hard time. Teach them a lesson.
That sounds like a narc badge, and it sounds like what you're doing is promoting splitting up families.
No, what we're promoting doing is staying clean and sober, and that comes to the parents, too, and sometimes those parents are scum, and they need to go to prison.
Okay, all right, Clyde.
All right.
So as sexual activity is running rampant in our schools, you'd be surprised how many junior high school and, you know, unfortunately, even grammar school kids are engaging in sexual activity.
Right.
So we're trying to discourage that amongst our young Boy Scouts, and so we're offering an auto fellatio badge.
I don't like the sound of that, Clyde.
I'm sorry. An auto fellatio badge?
That's right. If you can give yourself a Hummer, we give you a badge.
Really?
Oh, no. No.
If young men to take care of themselves, they won't be so eager trying to get women to do it for them.
I wish Psycho Mike, we get your interest now?
Do they have to show you that?
Well, of course. How else am I going to know?
That's creepy.
They got to demonstrate it. And if they need help, you know, I'm willing to be there for them.
Oh, Clyde.
Oh, Clyde.
Stretch them out, get them limber. That's
Clyde, come on. No, this has gone horribly awry.
Also, along the lines of being, you know, clean and that kind of stuff.
Sure. We're offering stuff like clean?
We're offering a badge in pubic grooming.
In pubic grooming?
Yeah. As the young men, you know, as they get their furry parts going down there, you know, after a certain age, we're teaching them to keep it clean and tidy and neat. So there's a manscaping badge that we give.
Manscaping.
And yeah, as long as you keep it trimmed and tight, you know, half an inch, you know, quarter of an inch, then you get your badge.
Do you measure?
Okay. Yeah, I do. I do all the measuring. Yeah.
Sure, you do.
I think I'm starting to see a thread here. I think I understand what's going on.
I mean, sexual safety is an issue that's really facing kids today. I mean, a lot of kids are picking up STDs and sort of things like that. So we teach them to be safe. In fact, we've got another badge. Teach them how to make a condom in the wild out of bark and a ferret pelt.
That's impressive. That's more than impressive.
If you're in the woods, you knock one out, you don't catch it.
Is this former Congressman Mark Foley?
Maybe.
We have often said amongst ourselves, there's no topic we can come up with that we won't get phone calls from our audience.
And that includes putting your A in her B. A couple of days ago, we were talking about the instant messages with former Representative Mark Foley of Florida. And one of the messages that was going back and forth between the congressman and a page was about the page's turn-on, which we found unusual, which was plaster casts. He, like, loves a woman with a broken arm, I guess, because that, for some reason, is sexy. And I don't know that much about it. Is it just that visually that's appealing, or is there something he actually does with the cast, or does he like to rub up against the cast?
I don't know.
No idea.
I mean, maybe somebody can call that has that same turn on. I don't know. Maybe it's that they can't run. I don't know. But somehow they get turned on by people who have casts.
Yeah.
And I know that there's very little that doesn't turn on some guy out there. You can almost, it doesn't matter what you talk about. It's stuffed animals, you know. There are people out there who are really, really into them. But the cast thing I've never heard of. A couple of emails on that topic. First from Elizabeth. Hey, I was listening to your skit about the Senate page tip line. I got a great laugh out of it. I was surprised about the cast fetish because I assumed it wasn't a widespread thing. I think it's really odd to get excited about this. At least I did until I broke my leg. I had no idea this thing even existed. Folks who are into this are called casters.
Casters.
And they usually troll around on sites like mybrokenleg.com.
Well, what kind of site is that?
They ask for pictures of young girls or boys with their casts on. That's from Elizabeth. So she had personal experience with it. Hiya, boys, says frequent K-Rock contributor Michael. I've seen an art book of photography for sale at the Wacko store that I think is called Broken Angels, and it's all photos of young Japanese girls in body casts, leg casts, head casts. Some even have black eyes or bloody noses.
Oh, no!
Some have cuts or some are in traction. I guess it's supposed to be erotic to somebody. Those Asians are weird and they drive crappy. Thank you, Mike. So, a picture book of people in casts.
Well, everybody has something that turns them on. For some people, it's hair. For me, I like eyes.
Feet.
Some people. Yeah. Stomach. Some people. I got a top 10 list that we'll read of top 10 fetishes according to AskMen.com when we come back. And we want yours, especially if they are casts or something else unusual.
Okay.
That people kind of give you a second look when you tell them what turns you on.
For instance, girls with braces, I know, is a fetish for
sure.
A lot of guys. Yeah. They're really turned on by girls with braces. Something that may be a little bit out of the ordinary, but there's nothing you can say that there's not a lot of people. I think there's nothing you could come up with that somebody is alone in being turned on by.
Yeah.
Why don't we start with Melissa, who's in Granada Hills. This is one, for instance, and Ralph, I'm glad you're here. I've never heard of this. Maybe you have. Hi, Melissa. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's the fetish?
Hi. I have a fetish for Audis.
Audi belly buttons?
Yeah.
That turns you on.
It's just so cute.
You're an umbilophile.
Will you only date men with those? With Audis?
My boyfriend has one.
Yeah.
This is funny. I find Audis repugnant.
I do too.
I think they're so gross.
I think they're so cute. I've always wanted one when I was little.
Wow.
They're hard to get.
Do you like to lick his Audi?
All right.
I have twins, and they have Audis, too.
Oh, that's not good news for them.
That's like a birth defect.
Thank you, Melissa, for the call. We appreciate it. All right. Let's go to Christina, who is calling from Fullerton. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning.
What's your fetish?
Men with big thighs.
Big thighs. Does it bother you that men with big thighs usually have big stomachs and big chests?
No, as long as they have big thighs.
Really?
I date bigger guys.
You're a Jerome Bettis file. That's what it's called.
That's the official name.
Yeah, it's the official name, yeah.
All right. Thank
big
you, Christine.
Thighs. That's a powerful sign for a man, I guess, to have big tree trunk legs.
I guess.
Yeah. Let's go to Hackup in Glendale, because this is one that I know is, among fetishes, this one is very, very popular.
I have a fetish for really stupid names.
Hackup.
Hack
this is a fetish that has magazines and movies and the whole deal. Hackup, what do you got?
In Glendale.
I'm sorry?
Glendale.
You're from Glendale, right. Okay. What's your fetish?
I love hairy women.
Hairy women.
Yeah. Hairy?
I don't buy this.
Hackup's putting us on a little
bit. I don't buy this accent
so
at all.
Yeah. Because Glendale's big Armenian community there.
Thanks
Glendale.
For calling.
That's the joke. Right. But the truth is, Ralph, I'm right about that. I mean, that's pretty popular, right?
Hotandhairy.com. You can go see all kinds of just, like, women with hair from, like, the mid
stomach down, all the way down the inside of their thighs.
No, no, stop talking.
You won't believe some of the sights you can see.
All right, let's go to April in Irvine, who has a cast fetish.
Oh,
yes.
There we go.
Now we're talking.
All right. April, good morning.
Good morning.
So you're turned on by casts.
Well, my best friend in college had a thing for guys who had casts.
So you...
Oh, it's not you. Okay.
So you caught it?
Yeah, well, she would just... If any guy had a cast, she was just all over it. She said it was more... Not a domination thing, but like an uber sexy warrior and got injured thing.
A sexy... Oh, I see. Because they were out there doing something really wild.
Yeah, like something really manly and they got hurt and, you know.
Yeah, I was saying the dominant thing is usually for men. For women, it is sort of like a nurturing caretaker kind of fantasy thing.
Yeah, like they can't get away, so you have to stuff chicken soup down their throat, you know.
Or whatever you got handy.
Exactly. All right, April, thank you very much for the call. There's silk fetishes, rubber, people who are turned on just by pregnant women, noses, of course, leather, babies, you know, infantilism, I guess they call that.
Robots.
Scuba. Robots.
There's a robot fetish. It's called. There's a robot fetishism. That's what they call it, that you're turned on by robots.
Oh, when I just, that feels so good.
Oh, yeah. Like that. I thought about this all day.
Not so fast. You are hurting me.
When I did Sex U for Playboy Television, remember that? Not Sex U, but
that was
Sex Etera.
Right.
I actually had to do a story on robot love.
Really?
Like guys who used to spray paint women with like metallic body paint and have them pretend to be robots in order to have sex with them.
Do they have to do the robot dance?
They have to move like robots. They have to be able to be positioned and everything. I'm not kidding.
Wow.
Guys, is there really a fart fetish? Does that exist? Because I'm seeing that on the list. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
There's a top 10 list. Voyeurism is 10. Golden showers is 9, unfortunately. Water is 8. Braids, ponytails, pigtails is 7. 6 is fingernails, lipstick. 5 is feet, hands. 4 is domination, submission.
That's a biggie.
3 is leather, rubber, vinyl, latex. 2 is body piercing. Huh. And the number 1 fetish, according to AskMen.com, is farts.
Oh,
No. Stomachs.
Stomachs?
What?
No, feet. Feet's not in the top 10, but stomachs.
That's correct, yes. Oh, feet, hands is number 5.
So yeah.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Kind of a mixture there. All right, let's go to John, because I think he's having us on, too. John in Laguna Beach, hi.
Hi. How are you guys doing this morning?
We are good. What's your fetish?
My fetish is sniffing women's armpits.
No, it's not.
No. I think we're going to deny that one.
Do you only do it when they're not using deodorant?
I only do it when they're not using deodorant.
You like that earthy smell, huh?
You need to move to France.
Yeah. Where do you think that, I'm sure you've thought about this, John, where do you think that came from? Was that something from your mom?
No. I think it's just the natural scent of a woman that just drives a man crazy.
Yeah.
No, not most of us, but okay. All
right. We had an intern that would drive you crazy.
No. Yeah, you would have loved her.
All right, we don't have time for all these calls.
You got excited when she got to the parking lot.
You know, this time of year, you hear a lot of Christmas songs, a lot of Christmas standards, and sometimes it gets a little repetitious. That's why we bring you the hits of tomorrow.
Mm, thank you so much.
Yo, 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 you up?
All right, hold on. Get these headphones ready. Hey, hey, turn the bass up in my headphones. I can hardly hear it. Yeah, there we go.
Go, Jesus, it's your birthday. We're gonna party like it's your birthday. We're gonna sip eggnog like it's your birthday. And you know we don't give a f*** cause it's your birthday. The month, December, the day, 25th. Break out the chronic, bitch, I'm about to get lit. I'm Kevin Federline. I get nasty, I smoke my Christmas tree. And a week's what it lasts me. I drink more drank than that bitch Tara Reid. If I take another sip, then my liver's gonna bleed. It's Christmas time in Malibu. I don't call it Hanukkah cause I ain't no Jew. But Jesus was, so let's get buzzed. Off sticky green chronic with bright purple fuzz. Like Snoop Dogg. I love the sticky icky, any type, any flavor. Cause you know I ain't picky. Dear Santa Claus, all I want this year is a fat sack of chronic and an ice cold beer. Let me make this clear, get on your reindeer and bring Kevin Federline a sack of Christmas cheer. It's Christmas time in Malibu. Throw your drinks in the air, tell me what it do, nephew. Let everyone rejoice and say happy birthday to you. You're the world's dopest Jew.
Jesus! My Yuletide log is made of skin. My chestnuts are roasting on your chin. And if you rub my Yuletide log, you'll find it likes to shoot eggnog. Brittany got naked, I got loose. And then I stuffed her Christmas goose. Cause I'm hung like a horse, I'm built like a cheetah. I've killed so many beavers, you should probably call PETA. It's sex, it's drugs, it's hip-hop too. This is how we spend Christmas in Malibu. It's Christmas time in Malibu. Throw your drinks in the air, tell me what it do, nephew. Let everyone rejoice and say happy birthday to you. You're the world's dopest Jew. Aw, yeah, just another Escalade in the garage for Fedelizzi off that track. Booyaka!
Yo, bro, it's free. Donated.
What do you mean I don't make any money off this song?
It's charity, dude.
Charity?
Yeah, free.
Man, you just stealing from me because I'm a black man.
Yo, hold up.
System coming down on a...
No, you ain't black.
What? Shut up!
You as black as me.
This is bullshit.
And this might be a good time for you to pull over and not drive while you listen to this feature.
Now, Bean, where did you find this story? Who did this study?
I saw it in a book, and I brought it up, and it surprised me that British scientists had taken it on themselves to do a survey of what the funniest joke in the world is. And I don't have a lot of the details, but Kevin, I know you have some.
Right.
About how they went about doing it. Did they get a room full of people and run all the jokes by them and see which ones got the best reaction, or how did they establish which one was the funniest?
They had 40,000 submitted jokes.
Wow.
To these scientists.
Okay.
And the scientist tallied nearly 2 million votes. So basically, they did this in Britain. Researchers solicited people from around the world to contribute jokes as well as judge them. And they came to a scientific number one. I don't know how you choose that.
Did the scientists, with their hilarious sense of humor, decide which one was the funniest? Or did they actually play the jokes for people?
They say that they created a website where people could submit and rate jokes.
Oh, so people who went to the website also rated.
Purposes of the research included discovering the joke that had the widest appeal and understanding among different cultures, demographics, and countries.
So this is a joke for everybody.
Yes, it has to be funny to everybody in the world.
Okay.
And that's what they were looking for, the funniest joke in the world.
We have in front of us what the British scientists in 2002 arrived at as the funniest joke in the world. And we will give that to you in a few minutes. But in case we're wrong, in case there's been an update, we want to hear from you. If you believe there's a legitimate contender for the funniest joke in the world.
This man is Ernest Scribbler, manufacturer of jokes. In a few moments, he will think of the funniest joke in the world. And as a result, he will die laughing. It was obvious the joke was lethal. No one could read it and live.
Oh, that's too bad. That's a funny joke. Because you die. Yeah. That may be too funny. That's the problem with that joke, is it's too funny.
Again, it can't just be a good joke, can't just be an okay joke. It has to be the funniest joke in the world, in your opinion. And then we'll see if those match. We'll start with Patrick and HB. Good morning, Patrick. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
What's up, guys?
Funniest joke in the world, man. Let's hear it.
Okay. So it's April 1st, and this woman's pregnant. She's giving birth, and the doctor's telling her, push, you know, get the baby out, push. She's screaming. She's going at it. And he's like, okay, here it comes. It's coming out. You know, he lifts it up and shows it and starts throwing it on the ground and stomping on it. And she's, you know, screaming, oh, my baby! Oh, no, my baby! You know, and he looks up at her and goes, hey, lady, April Fool's, the baby was already dead.
Oh, God! Oh, my God!
That's for you, Mike.
That's a great delivery, too, Patrick. Thank you.
That's for you, Mike, because somebody gets dominated.
I got to tell you, I've seen the funniest joke in the world. I think Patrick's maybe funnier.
That was unexpected.
That is so offensive. Nick and Brea, good morning.
How you doing?
That's a tough one to beat. Go ahead.
All right, this is the best joke in the world to tell to your buddy
right.
In front of a bunch of people. So this one's for you, Kevin.
Go ahead.
What was the last thing my pubic hair heard before it hit the ground?
What was the last thing my pubic hair heard before it hit the ground?
Yes.
What?
It's you going.
That's equally offensive. That's pretty good. All right, let's go to Cyrus. Good morning, Cyrus.
Morning. How you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Lisa?
Hello.
You got a couple of
this
tough
jokes. All you cats out there at K-Rock, all right?
All right.
What did one snowman say to the other snowman?
I give up.
Do you smell carrots?
Okay, see, this is an example of what we don't want. Not the funniest joke in the world.
All right, let's try Steve in Chino. Good morning, Steve.
What to do?
Anything you read in Highlights magazine, I think I could say, is guaranteed not to be the funniest joke in the world.
Funniest joke in the world. Go.
What's the difference between Kevin and a refrigerator?
Difference between me and a refrigerator.
The refrigerator don't fart when you pull your meat out.
Oh.
Okay, how do we start so strong and go so badly and so wrong so fast?
Let's try one more, and then we'll give you the funniest joke in the world. Memo?
Yep, right here. How you doing, guys?
And Pomona.
Good.
What, in your opinion, is the funniest joke in the world?
Gotcha. Mom and Dad are in the act, and they're in the bedroom, and a kid walks in on them. Mom really quickly dismounts and goes see what her son saw. He asks her son, what did you see, son? He says, Mom, what were you doing on top of Dad? He says, no, you know how your dad's belly's round? I was sledding it out for him. The kid says, Mom, you're wasting your time. The neighbor comes in and blows it back up again.
Okay,
I see where you're going with that. Okay.
I get that.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, British.
Can I guess first before you do that?
Sure.
I have a guess.
Okay, yeah.
A man walked through a whole house and saw a beautiful prostitute smoking outside. And he walked up to her and he says, I'll give you $20 if you let me lick your c-. She turns around, gives him $40, and she says, get the f*** out of my face. Otherwise, I'll get my pinch and the girls, bust your ass.
That's it. Funniest joke in the world.
I saw the winner.
I didn't follow that at all.
I didn't either.
No, Kevin. 2002, British scientist, millions of votes. This is the funniest joke in the world.
A couple of New Jersey hunters are out in the woods when one of them falls to the ground. He doesn't seem to be breathing. His eyes are rolled back in his head. The other guy whips out his cell phone and calls 911. He gasps to the operator, "My friend is dead. What can I do?" The operator, in a calm, soothing voice, says, "Just take it easy, sir. I can help. First, make sure he's dead." There's a silence. Then a gunshot is heard. The guy's voice comes back on the line and he says, "Okay, now what?"
Yay! That's the funniest joke in the world. So says the Brits.
Wow. We need not let scientists rule on jokes.
It's no, the joke's on you. The baby was already dead. I'll tell you that.
If you just tuned in, you may have missed the years when Carl Malone used to join us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
But with a red hat on as Santa Carl.
Well, ho, ho, ho. Hello there, y'all. This here, Carl Malone. What's up, Kevin and Big? What's up, baseball? Every day around holiday time, people come up to Carl Malone and say, Carl Malone, what the hell Kwanzaa? And that's a good question, because Carl Malone wanted to inherit sometime, what the hell Kwanzaa? So guess what Carl Malone did? Carl Malone found out. That's right. And now Carl Malone gonna tell you a story about Kwanzaa told back by Carl Malone. Way back when, long time ago in 1985, a show by the name of Bill Cosby Kids came on TV. And that TV were named NBC. And Bill Cosby have a whole mess of kids named Denise, Theo, Vanessa, Rudy, Jasmine Guy, had a white one named Sandra, married dude Bill Cosby Kid didn't like named Elvin. They had two kids, little Winnie, little Nelson, named after Howie Mandela. And of course, cute little Rudy, who went on to grow a big old mustache right there on Rudy lip. And that's a good show, but here Carl Malone whole thing. NBC name show what? Bill Cosby Kid Show. But where the hell Bill Cosby? Carl Malone see a Heathcliff Huckabee, and Carl Malone do heart that Huckabee, but where the hell heck Bill Cosby? Ain't that a dang thing? And that's how dude made up Kwanzaa. Dude who called Heathcliff Bill Cosby Huckabee, same dude called Christmas time Kwanzaa Day. And that's where babies come from. Ho, 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 y'all. This here Carl Malone saying Merry Christmas and a hippity-hoppity Kwanzaa Eve. That's good, right?
I don't know if you've seen the latest issue of Rolling Stone magazine, but its readers have picked the new Radiohead album, In Rainbows, as the best album of 2007. Now, this is a group that we've been hanging out with for a long, long time.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, and it's time for our breakfast with Radiohead. Say hello to the guys.
Morning, you guys. How are you?
Bambi.
Good morning.
Now, a lot of people around the radio station were talking about the fact that you dusted off Creep, which was a total surprise. And I only bring it up because I know you guys have had an odd history with that particular song where you did not play it for a real long time. What gets in your mind that, hey, let's crack that one open tonight?
Songs can just start sounding good. It's like we didn't play No Surprises for about 2 years. And then we tried it one night and it sounded good again. So it kind of comes and goes, really.
Is it great to have a lot of different songs to choose from, depending on what vibe you want, what feeling you've got?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Good answer.
Don't do that.
No, of course it is. Yeah, I mean, you know, when we do the set each night, it's different. And when we were touring Pablo Honey, it was, you know, the same 12 songs plus a few B-sides. And it's more fun, you know.
Sure.
You don't get bored. I mean, that's the thing for us, the reason why we used to hate touring, or got to this extent, it was just the boredom factor. By the end of it, you're just, you know...
I think sometimes, because we come to the gigs that morning and we say, what do we want to play today? Yeah. And usually the list that we come up with reflects where we're at that day, yeah, as well, which is quite interesting.
You know, we heard so much about when you were putting the songs together for the Hail to the Thief CD that you debuted a lot of them live on stage in front of people to kind of see how they felt, see how they went over, see if you liked them. Is that a regular occurrence for you? Is that something you do often? Is that something you're doing on this tour at all with new songs?
No, it isn't really, because I think what we do next is going to kind of take a lot of different a different sort of method. It's going to be much more random. And this, we were working really fast. We wanted Hail to the Thief to be a fast, very much about performance.
Should we go out to the audience and get some questions from some fans for the band Radiohead this morning?
My name is... Actually, this question was somebody else's, but I'm asking it because she's scared.
Thief! Thief!
Chicken.
My name is Afa. I'm actually in a band, and that's the reason for this question. Do you have any sort of advice for newer groups, I mean very new, that are trying to strive to do something different that's not quite what is commercial at this moment?
How do you say this politely?
Don't suck.
Yeah. I think at the moment the climate is very peculiar, but I don't think it's going to stay like that. Because as with all corporate entities, they tend to eat themselves whole.
So wait 5 years and then try again.
At the first, you don't succeed. Do you feel at this point that you have any obligation to commercial considerations when you go in the studio to record a new record? I mean, you know you've got a label that... is counting on making money off of you that year. Is that something that ever enters into your thought process?
No, because it never has. I mean, you know, the whole thing about this is...
I think it did for 10 minutes, actually.
Did it?
Yeah, after Creep.
All right, yeah.
Someone mentioned it briefly.
Yeah. It was, you know, it kind of reverts to what you... The question is that we started off as a band, like, you know, a bunch of 16, 17-year-olds just doing it for fun. And we played all sorts of different styles of music the first 4 years, 5 years.
Still do.
Still do. And that's what it was always, it's kind of always goes back to that. It always goes back to the rehearsal studio, you know, having a laugh. That's the core of it. So once you bring the other commercial considerations, we have managers who deal with that. That's what they're supposed to do. We don't, you know.
I don't think Tom.
You're thinking how much better your job is than his, aren't you?
Yeah.
It is.
Do you think your music would be the same, say, on this current album if you weren't popular? If you were selling 15,000 copies of your albums, do you think this album would have turned out the same?
I think the whole point with the music is that the audience is a vital part of how the music develops. I just don't think that... it's funny, actually, someone pinned me down at one of the... I was being pinned down quite a lot after the shows, and someone said... you know, I've been in a band for 10 years. It's going nowhere. I don't know what to do. You know, I write all these songs, and I'm like, well, do you play them to people? Do you give people tapes and CDs? No. Well, there you go. Because the whole point is you never develop. You never know what you're doing unless you have a relationship with an audience that tells you somehow or other. And that it doesn't dictate what you do next, but it makes you see it in another way. Otherwise, you're working in isolation, which is pointless.
Now let's go back out to the audience. Who's next, please, for Radiohead here on K-Rock this morning?
Yes.
This question is for Tom York. I was wondering, has having a child changed how you approach songwriting? And has it changed, in general, the way you see the world?
It certainly changed the way I see the world, yeah. This is just really obvious, stupid stuff, like you start thinking about the future and the monkeys that are in charge of that future. And that you know, makes you very angry, but it also makes you want to do something about it.
About songwriting, does it?
Yeah, I think it did. I was personally speaking, to be honest, going through a period of not quite understanding what the purpose of what we were doing was. And suddenly, kind of like, oh, okay, it was sort of fairly simple. Yeah. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
All right, let's go back out for another question. Who do we have out there?
Hi, my name is Gil. First of all, I would like to take this opportunity to thank you guys for years of good music. For Tom, what was it like working with Bjork and PJ Harvey?
It was quite interesting because it was just coming out. When I did both those sessions, it was just as we were finishing our Mammoth sessions for Kid A and Amnesia. It was interesting to just walk into somebody else's working pattern. And they were both sort of really relaxed, and it was a much more like, oh, right.
There's another way to do this, you thought.
Yeah. More. But it was also nice just, you know, not being responsible for what's going on. I did what I was told. I mean, you would, wouldn't you?
All right, who wants to hear this band play? How about that? Radiohead, K-Rock.
Ooh.
More Breakfast with Radiohead coming up on K-Rock.
Breakfast with Radiohead on the world-famous K-Rock here this morning.
Hi, my name's Alicia, and this is a question for everyone in the band. What contemporary musicians or bands, besides yourselves, do you think are doing some truly unique and worthwhile music?
They're all sitting back and thinking.
Nobody wants to say Justin Timberlake, right? That's the problem. No one wants to be the first.
I like some of the lights in his video.
This is an opportunity for maybe somebody who's a little unheralded that you can spread the word on that we ought to know about.
Well, they don't have to be unheralded necessarily.
Any name, just don't a name.
Okay, Square Pusher. Obviously, he doesn't get enough attention.
Madlib.
Well, you know Madlib, obviously. Don't you know Madlib? Madlib.
And Fortet.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Stephen Malkmus and the Jicks.
Oh, Malkmus, yes. Yeah, man. That record.
He's genius.
That record, Piglib, should be a massive hit. Yeah. We just don't get it. We don't understand
why. I can't figure out why that's not a hit.
I just do not get it. I don't understand. I don't understand why Felix the House Cat, why that record wasn't a massive number one record all the way around the world. I've got this obsession with all the records that should have been screaming hits but weren't.
It's a good thing you're not an A&R man.
Ooh, I'd be.
You know?
Ooh.
Do you have a decent feel for your own band and your own music? What's going to be received well? Because it sounds No, not at all. Are you surprised by some of the things that the audience just reacts to crazy and you never thought they would?
Constantly.
How many songs do you guys know that you could play, theoretically? I'm not going to ask you to, but theoretically, that aren't your own? Like, when you're rehearsing, do you ever go, hey, let's do fill in the blank?
We've done about three or four, haven't we, other people's songs?
Ever,
That's about it. So, in other words, if someone hired you as the cover band
we'd
for the night, you're short.
It would be terrible.
Thanks for coming, everybody. That's all we know. Good night. All right. Where are you in the audience here? There we go. Right here, Mr. Spam. Go ahead. By the way, how dumb do you have to be to walk around in a shirt that says spam on it?
Hey, you know, that's it's the number one canned meat in the world.
Yeah, okay. Sure. Get the hell beaten out of you, man.
You told him.
All right, name and question, please.
My name's Rich. I read somewhere that one of you had said that you really hate asking or answering questions like, if you were an ice cream, what flavor would you be?
So
everyone eats those.
So instead, if you were a berry, just kidding. During the early Radiohead days when Britpop was really huge in England, the media would constantly classify each new band as like the next big thing. How do you think Radiohead kind of avoided being thrown into that?
Well, I think you can only ever, a story's much more interesting when there's like two halves, isn't it? And it's like Oasis and Blur, really. So it's like, just want to be a part of that, really. So it's like,
In other words, there was no one for you to be pitted against? That's what you're saying?
Well, I don't think that anyone would ever want to be associated with us anyway. So, it would be like,
we were kind of a non-story in the UK, really. I mean, they saw us as having had this hit over in America. I mean, we had for the first year and a half, we had really bad press, and they thought, we were this lily-livered excuse for rock music and all this stuff.
I gurned my way through the set.
Yeah,
I particularly like that one.
It still haunts you, doesn't it?
Yep, I still do. So.
The same article as well.
Yeah, bastard.
So many people think so highly of your band. I just read an interview with David Bowie the other day where he said Radiohead's the greatest band in the world today. Okay? Yeah.
Tom looks very surprised by that.
I don't expect you to agree with that because you're modest fellows, but is there someone who you think is the greatest band in the world today?
We're not really into bands. Actually, Malkmus and the Jicks. But I don't know, we don't listen to that sort of music a lot, do we really? No, I mean,
I think the Strokes record's going to be really good.
Yeah,
we played with them in Japan.
Yeah,
and they played a couple of new tracks from it, and it was awesome. It was, the tracks were just incredible.
I'm really into the Chili Peppers as well at the moment. I think that they've seen a lot, but like they're playing better now than they've ever done by times 10. You know,
yeah, and you can
the way that Chad plays the drums now and stuff is just. And they're obviously in such a good space, and the music's really joyful. It's great.
All right. Who's next, please, here at Capitol Records Tower, Breakfast with Radiohead?
Hi, my name's Vanessa. I'm from Temple City. I have a very important question for you. How often do you guys call your mother?
How often do you call your mothers?
That's way too personal. Next.
All right. Do you have a question over here?
Hi, I'm Jill. This question is for Tom. Where do you think you would be if you never made it as a musician?
In a mental home.
That was quick.
He doesn't act like he's kidding either, by the way.
No. Who wants to hear another song from Radiohead? Shall we? At our breakfast? Guys, go ahead.
It's Breakfast with Radiohead. We'll be right back after this on the world-famous K-Rock.
Bean and I like to think that we afford celebrities the respect they deserve.
Or we were literally the first nail in her coffin.
Anna?
Are you purposely trying to be a jackass today?
No,
are you going
I don't,
over
I'm
the
not,
top?
I just, I'm just,
you
I'm
look
overwhelmed.
Like you have an out for her. Why do you have
no,
an out for her?
No, I don't have
do
an out for her. Because I don't understand how an adult that has as much experience as she does with all of this can't walk from her car into the building without help. That's
don't
all
worry
I'm saying.
About it. That's the way she wants it. That's all
God,
she
just
can.
Looking forward to spending a little time with the lovely Kim. And she seemed very nice. We got a chance to meet her in the studio, and then she had to leave again. So.
She'll come in. Just put well, down the axe. That's all I'm saying.
No, it's not like that.
Stop sharpening it on the wheel.
Oh, just, very nice. Very nice.
What's happening? Is she coming in?
Anna's here, and her lawyer Howard's here.
She said she didn't want to sit next to the mean one.
She doesn't want to sit next
to the mean one. The mean one we keep on in another state, Anna, so you don't have to sit next to him. He's up on that TV screen up there.
I was listening to y'all this morning.
Hi, Anna. How are you? Good morning.
Hang on. She's still putting on
her headphones. Okay.
Ralph, make sure she knows how those work.
I was going to have a good time.
No, you're going to have a great time.
See, Bean? This is why you're bad.
Look, who loves the show more than I do?
Angry at you.
I love the show. I'm obsessed with the show, as we all are. Anna, we're delighted to have you. Thank you for coming in.
She hates you.
Let's get into it then. What is it that you heard specifically that angered you?
Well, you're talking about me this morning. Like, I'm not going to be listening to the radio.
Bean. I didn't think you could work a radio. I didn't know. I'm just teasing about that. Anna, what is it we said that upset you, though? Did we say anything? I mean, did we say anything that wasn't true?
About. Or
did we say anything that wasn't true?
Yeah, you said things that weren't true.
Okay, like
I can
like
think
what?
For myself. My lawyer doesn't think for me. Okay, he doesn't sleep in my bed.
Here's what we're referring to, and this is an outstanding time to talk about this. It seems unusual to us that a guy who we know of as an attorney is laying in your bed with lipstick all over his face, rubbing your belly button on a television show. That's not what most of us think about for legal counsel. We're just trying to understand the relationship.
He's also my best friend. He's not just a lawyer. He's my best friend.
Does he have any other clients?
Are you sure it wasn't Sugar Pie who was licking the belly button or rubbing the belly button? I don't think that was me.
Yeah, that was my dog who licked my belly button.
I'm not that ugly.
No, you were laying on the bed next to her. That's when you made the comment about that's not what she smelled. Remember the part I'm talking about?
That's where my dog licked my belly button, not Howard.
Right, and Howard, but Howard was in the bed at that time while the dog
was sitting beside me. So what?
Lawyers are people too. We can still be friends.
Can we start over? Can we start from the beginning where we should have started
before Bean got
before Bean got on the air today? Would you mind if we just said? Anna Nicole Smith, welcome.
Hey, how about
thanks for coming in. We appreciate
it.
We're happy to have you.
Thank you.
See, here's what's frustrating for us on the other side of the camera, Anna, is that we only see 22 minutes of what may be taped over several days. So it looks like Howard is always with you, when in reality, maybe 90% of the time he's off doing other things. But we don't see that. We only know what we get on the E! Show.
So you have to talk bad about it?
No, well, let's clear it up then. So how much time does Howard spend with you?
He spends a lot of time with me, but so what?
Okay.
Yeah, you just think it's interesting for an attorney.
That's good enough.
Why does it have to be attorney? Why does it have to keep being attorney?
Because you don't think
that's
of him as your attorney. You think of him
as your friend.
Okay. So that's more than just a professional relationship is what they're saying, which is great. It's good that they're friends.
I'm not saying it's a sexual relationship. I'm saying
it's a friendship.
My best friend.
Okay.
That makes sense.
But you know, and, my hand is sore from grabbing onto her ankles.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Yeah, but that wasn't funny. You got it.
That was just a joke.
All right. And how long has Kim been with you, and what does she do? And can you see how desperately in love with you she is?
Seeing as I can't think for myself, I'll let Kim answer that.
Kim, you want to answer
Kim,
that?
Kim, how long have you been working with Anna?
I've been her assistant for about 2 years.
2 years.
And what do you do in the role of her assistant?
I do all kinds of things, from running errands to shopping to taking Daniel to school, taking care of Sugar Pie to the groomer. All kinds of
Is that Sugar Pie in the bag there?
Yes.
Anna, what do you think about all that has been said since the E! Show started 2 weeks ago? I mean, you already had a pretty high profile. You were well known. You'd been in a couple of high profile lawsuits and whatnot. And everybody knew you, obviously, from being a Playmate of the Year. But now you're on everybody's tongue right now. What do you think about the reaction to your show and to your life?
I think it's pretty funny that all people can talk about is Anna.
Well,
that's kind of what you want, though, right?
Funny good.
When you have a new TV show, it's kind
of
nice to get attention. Funny
good,
funny bad.
Funny good.
Yeah. What? One of the questions that people don't seem to be asking you is, are you on some type of a drug?
Or medication.
Medication of any kind.
No. Because
it sounds like it when you talk.
I know. I have a slang from Texas, and it's a lazy talk, and it just looks that way. It sounds that way.
It does come and go. Like on the first show, I think it was, you slurred a lot and you just talked. And then they would cut to that scene where you're on the bench, and you seem much more lucid and sharp and...
Well, it's because when I'm doing an interview, I'm really focused,
right.
But when I'm like not focused, I just
in regular life,
I don't watch my mouth, and I just You know, I got this lazy slang talk from Texas, you know.
Since it's more laid back.
Yeah, I'm just really laid back. And
but, Anna, it wasn't always like that. I mean, I can't tell you how many countless hours I saw your Playmate video, for instance. And you know, there wasn't a lot of talking on it, but you didn't sound anything like you do today. Because you haven't had a stroke or anything?
Because I was talking. I mean, so I knew that I was talking. It was like an acting job.
You were performing.
Yeah.
Okay, but right now, for instance, as we talk to you, if we didn't know you, we would say this sounds like a woman who is heavily sedated.
You think I'm sedated right now?
I'm saying that you sound that way. That's not the case. You're telling us that you're not.
Whatever. I mean, come on. Whatever.
Howard, you don't think so?
Not at all.
No,
not at all.
You're such
a
hateful man.
No.
No, wait a minute. Let me, and I don't do this often because Bean's a jackass.
Do I look like I'm on drugs?
No, but you sound, I mean, there are certain drugs, like if I were on, say, for example, Valium, a lot of it, I would slow down and slur, and that's kind of the sound you have. That's not anything.
I have a Texas drop.
That's not anything that's
like
meant
that
to be mean. That's
you know?
Just a.
Sorry, but I'm not on drugs.
Okay. Observation. President Bush is from Texas also. He doesn't sound anything like you. There are lots of people who are from Texas who don't. It's not just the accent is what I'm saying. But you say, and you know, I'll accept your word. Obviously, I'm not going to call you a liar. If you tell me you're not on anything, then I accept that.
I don't lie, and I'm not on anything.
Yeah, no medication.
I'll tell you what, it almost sounds like she needs to be on drugs to come in here and talk with you guys.
I kind of want some now.
Anna, we can't be the first people who have wondered that watching the show, though. I mean,
you're not, but
that's how it appears.
I mean, you're sitting here right now, saying right now I'm even on drugs.
We're just asking. We're asking what other people are asking behind your
back. And I came here to be with y'all thinking this was going to be a nice little talk show, and
it's not meant to be mean. This particular topic,
it's not.
It isn't.
Just
no, it's just a question.
Right now.
I swear to God, we're not. I swear to God,
you're calling me a f-ing druggie.
No, we're not. We're asking you if you're on painkillers, something. We don't know.
We don't drop know it. I mean, why are we still talking about it?
Do you feel that you have a good attitude?
I think I have a great attitude until I turned on the radio this morning.
And, you know, no one has promoted your show more than we have. We're huge fans of your show. We called E before the show debuted, Anna. You should know this. And we said, if you're only planning on putting that on a half hour a week, you guys are making a big mistake. You've got to put that on 10 hours a week. Half an hour is not enough. That's how much we like the show. Please don't misunderstand.
I'm glad that y'all like the show, but, you know, you could like me a little bit also.
All right, let's take a break.
Anna will leave if we do that.
Let it be said before we go to break that she looks great for someone who just got out of bed, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding.
Her hair's all done and her makeup's done and you look great. You look good.
Thank you.
All right.
Will you leave if we take a break?
Yeah.
No, we don't want you to leave, Anna.
Why? I want to keep pissing me off.
We don't want to piss you off at all. We want to get to know you. Look, all we know is what we see on the TV.
You're not even giving me a chance.
All right, let's give you a chance.
We're looking for the opportunity to get the real story right from you rather than just guessing based on watching the television show.
Well, you're guessing right now, saying I'm on drugs. So how do I even get an even
fair
chance?
Anna, we didn't say it.
We didn't say you were on drugs.
You said I sounded like it.
We can say that without a mean spirit because you do. It's all right if the answer is no.
And if you're not, that's fine. Now we got it. We haven't brought it
but
up again.
But it doesn't
again.
Mean that
y'all
we're being
suck.
Jackasses.
Y'all suck. Come
She's
on.
Right. You do kind of suck.
You suck, man.
I'm just kidding.
I didn't come here to get all beat up
Anna,
on.
Anna, we're not
here
beating
to
up. Listen.
My show,
Anna, listen.
For everybody out there, I'm promoting my show Sunday night, 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock, honey. You should watch it 10 times. Listen, here's what we.
So I'm
Anna,
out here
we
now.
Said we said you sound like you're on drugs. You said I'm not on anything. We said, fine. We haven't brought it up since then. We're moving on now to something else.
Please. Well, y'all keep talking. So you're still talking about
I'm just trying. Okay.
Let's let that one go. And we'll move on to other topics.
All right.
Let's let that go.
All right. Do you guys not want me to ask another question?
No, go ahead.
Okay. What happened, Anna, from the time that you were Playboy's Playmate of the Year, you were one of the most gorgeous women on the planet. What happened from that point to get from there to where you are today?
What do you mean?
For starters, you gained a lot of weight.
I didn't gain a lot of weight.
Now, is this one of these deals where I have to say it just looks that way on TV and you have to tell me that it's not true?
I've gained a little weight, but what are you trying to call me, Miss Porker now?
I hadn't planned on that. I could, but...
What do you mean, what happened to me? I'm still here. It's me.
Okay. from a Playboy Playmate of the Year, though, to where you are now, you look very different from you did back then. Did you get to a point where you didn't care about that sort of thing anymore? You stopped acting? You stopped modeling? You just kind of settled into a different groove, and that wasn't appearance wasn't important to you?
I just wanted to be a hog, so I just started eating everything I could. I just wanted to be a big, fat pig.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Hey, are you feeling better about yourself now?
I'm not trying. No, I'm trying.
I'm sitting here looking at you on the monitor, and I mean, it's like you got the smile on your face. You're getting in your punches.
You know, they're not supposed to be punches. We're just trying to have a conversation. But if we bring up anything that's negative, then it's a punch.
I came here to, you know,
what do you want to talk about,
Anna? Show. Y'all asked me to come here. I didn't come here for this abuse. So what do you want to talk about? I'm talking about I'm going. Goodbye.
Okay, bye. Well, we're glad.
Thanks for coming. This is ridiculous.
Well, how do you think that went?
Apparently, this is why other people don't ask any questions of Anna, because she gets pissed.
Apparently, Larry King had it right, I guess.
Yeah, just walked out.
Well, you know, you're going to do what you're going to do, I guess.
You guys can take that break now.
Thanks for your time.
That break that we need to take?
Yeah.
See you, Anna.
See you, Howard.
Bye.
Bye,
Kim.
Thanks, you guys.
Nice meeting you.
Okay. Bye now. Enjoyed that.
How'd that go?
Well, I don't think that was our fault. I'm sorry. You wanted to ask some questions, and...
Well, I think it didn't help that she came in mad because she heard us talking negatively about her earlier.
I think that was the problem. That is what America is saying, and she had an opportunity to set the record straight, and she doesn't even want to know what America's saying.
But if people were saying, you know, how fat I was and everything leading up to an interview, I probably wouldn't walk into a room with the best attitude either.
Yeah. Well... We've had better interviews.
She's obviously sensitive to it, but, you know, well, maybe too much so.
I feel bad. I'm not trying to hurt
her. Yeah, you do.
No, I wasn't trying to hurt her feelings.
That's the one thing we know is not true. Don't insult me.
You feel bad. I wasn't trying to hurt her feelings. I was trying to find out. I'm trying to figure out how she got from point A to point W. Like I said earlier, that's what I'm trying to figure out is what happened to this
woman.
But
you said from being one of the most beautiful women in the world to where you are now. How did that happen?
Right.
Instead of saying, you seems like you put on some weight. What? How did you gain all the weight?
You know, that wouldn't have gone over any
I don't know
better,
that's
Ralph.
Much better.
But it's like the way you say, you were so beautiful, and now today you look like this. I mean, that's a kind of a shot.
Here's the point, though, Bean.
Here's the point.
It's a shot. It is.
Here's the point. The point is that they were mad when they walked in. And then we made them more mad by asking about the drugs.
And the lawyer thing.
And the lawyer. And then they were really, really, really mad. And that's when you came with the weight.
Well, I think you figured this was his last chance.
I don't know. Maybe one softball. And then come back.
Well, I was thinking in general it would have been nice to kind of make nice and talk about the show. And then when
that's
you
what
came
I kept trying
back.
To do.
No, you said, a lot of people haven't asked you, but are you on drugs? You came in with the drugs. He came in with the weight. We didn't have a chance to soften him up. I thought maybe we'd have a little small talk, relax the room a little bit, and then you could get into some tougher questions later.
Well, we'll do it again when she comes in next time.
Okay, good.
Hi, I'm Anna Nicole Smith, and you're listening to Kevin and Bean on the World.
Anna?
And we understand that about 99% of you are Wake and Bakers.
And that's why we're very happy to bring you this word from your leader.
Hey, you know who it is? It's Mo! And here's my superhero story. It was a dark night this one time, and I was all done scraping out all the paraphernalia out of every pipe in the party box, and there was nothing left. And then I looked over and I spotted Long Bong Silver. It had been a super long time since I swapped out that dog water. It looked like a tube of beef gravy. So there's nothing else I could do. That's right, I totally chugged it. What I didn't know was the bong water was totally radioactive, and I became Bong Water Dude Man Guy. Well, first I became totally wasted, then I became Bong Water Dude Man Guy. Now I have the superpower to make a smoking device out of anything. Don't have a paper or a pipe or a power hitter or a steamroller or a one hitter or something? No problem. Bong Water Dude Man Guy to the rescue. I can make you a device out of an apple or a soda can or a banana or a file cabinet or a mechanical bull. So whenever and wherever there's a call for help, help Bong Water Dude Man Guy, I'll be there in a flash. Just let me finish watching Battlestar Galactica for this awesome episode. Up, up, and away! Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah, Bean.
People, exit only.
Dude, I fell on the vacuum cleaner hose. I don't know what you're suggesting.
101 things removed from the human body. Strange tales of people who have either ingested or been impaled by foreign objects and survived. That's a TV show.
Oh, been impaled. So this isn't on purpose.
It's, well, I'm sure it's 101. Be. It's all of it.
Yeah.
It's
sometimes you can get impaled on purpose. You know what I'm saying, Lisa?
Right, I do.
I bet you do.
Remember Jackass and the little car?
Oh,
sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we thought we'd bring back Miss Double December because she has a perfect story for this particular topic.
Good morning.
Hi, Melissa.
Is my girlfriend there?
Yes. Oh, hi, Melissa.
Hi, Lisa.
How you doing?
I'd like
good.
To...
Your
like
boyfriends to, are here, too.
Now, Melissa, you are a nurse.
Yes.
Tell us the story of, was he 67?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, way too old anyways,
yeah,
but...
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm working in this ER, and he comes in, and he has this big story about drinking with his friends and passes out, and I guess the last thing he remembers is they're joking about KY jelly. And apparently...
You know how guys will joke about that.
I know.
Guys can't make enough jokes about lubricants.
By the way, that
is so lame.
That is not the last thing you want to remember right there.
Last thing I remember.
KY jelly.
Something about Astroglide.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, so he wakes up and he apparently has this 14-inch dildo shoved up his butt.
Because that's what friends do when friends fall asleep.
Oh, yeah. Those wacky old coots.
And he doesn't look uncomfortable. He's kind of joking about it.
You mean, did he know what it was?
Well, he wasn't sure, but when the doctor did a rectal exam, he couldn't feel it with his finger, but when he was pushing on
Let's not get too graphic, if you don't mind.
He lost it? It went down?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
It was absorbed into his body.
It was so far up that when he pushed just below his rib cage, he could feel it.
Oh, my God in heaven.
That's a hi, how are you?
That's awful.
So did you have to do surgery?
Yeah, he had to go to the OR and have it removed.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's
I know.
Really funny.
Come on.
Is that
that's
gross?
That's, well, it's just not true that he passed out and his friends did
no,
that.
No, he was embarrassed.
Well,
and
yeah, that, of course, is the story. He was by
I
himself.
I was drinking, it's and I fell on a dildo.
Right, right.
Yes. The vacuum cleaner hose attacked me.
I couldn't help it. All right, well, that's a great story to get us started. And, Melissa, we miss you.
I miss you guys.
All right.
Bye, you guys.
Josh and San Dimas, good morning.
Hey, what's up?
Well, we're talking about...
Yeah, what's up, Josh? That is the question.
14 inches is the answer. what's your story?
I used to work in a jail.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and,
no.
They used to walk through a metal detector when they come in,
mm-hmm.
and the metal detector went off, so, you know, you think he's got something on him.
And does everybody at that point look at each other and go, you take him? No, you take him. I don't want to take him. You take him. Is that how that works?
Yeah, basically.
All right.
So then we x-ray him, and come to find out, there's a 4D cell battery shoved up his butt.
The jumbo size mag light.
Yeah, it was like a little lighthouse every time he opened up his mouth.
Oh my gosh!
He was trying to smuggle a mag light into prison.
I'll shine the light in their eyes, and I can escape. That's what he was thinking.
Maybe he wanted to read after lights out.
That seems like a long way to go for a light.
Yeah, well, wow. I saw the x-ray. So
you did. You saw the x-ray. It was a light.
Yes, I did.
Oh, my God. All right. Thank you for calling, Josh. All right. Let's say good morning to Autumn from Bellflower. You are or used to be an ultrasound technician?
I used to be.
Used to be. Okay.
Which story do you want to hear? I have tons of them, and they're all disgusting.
Just give us a quick list of things you found and where.
All right. In the emergency room, had a patient come in, and her... Apparently, his unit was not big enough, so they were using a Corona bottle that broke off inside of her.
Oh, my.
She had a jagged edge.
Oh, my God.
Lordy.
And you saw that?
Yes. It was not very attractive.
Corona bottle.
I used to scan very obese patients. And under their fat rolls, we found an Oreo cookie one time. Green.
Oh, wait a minute.
A green Oreo cookie.
What do you mean under their fat rolls? Where?
Like in between.
Down there?
Like apparently they just didn't wash very well. No, I mean when you're severely obese, you have lots of rolls.
You mean like kicking back, watching?
Up in there.
They're watching Judge Hackett in the afternoon eating a big bag of Oreos, and one just drops in the fold, and they never
and
found
they lose it.
Oh, that's
sad.
Tragic, really.
That's not nearly as funny
dude,
as the...
Dude, how cool is that? If, like, you're on the bus or something, you just snap...
An Oreo!
Oh, it's so gross.
I think I have something in here someplace. Hey, look, a bag of Doritos.
I had another patient that I was scanning who was also obese, and she kept complaining of pain, so we lifted up one of the rolls, and there was a sock laying in there. And we took the sock out, and she was like, oh, that must have been the pain. I put it there to absorb the sweat, and it was all green.
Oh, my God. I can see why you quit being an ultrasound technician.
No more emergency rooms for me.
She's selling sweat socks and Oreos.
These absorb your body sweat.
Cliff in Riverside, good morning.
What's up, guys?
Thanks for holding on. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem.
All right.
I was 10 years old, and I got in a fight with this this kid. And
bastard.
We
hate him.
Yeah, he picked up a stick, about a 14-inch stick, and stuck it through my face.
Oh, Lordy.
You mean like it started from the right side of my face, all of this under the skin, mind you, right side of my face, through my nose, and stopped about a quarter of an inch from my left eye.
Oh, my God.
Probably about 5 inches hanging out of the skin.
Oh, my God.
And you had to go to the emergency room that way?
Yeah.
And you said the last thing I remember was my friends making a joke about a tree.
Believe it or not, I didn't hear it. I didn't feel it at all. You know, because your body just goes numb.
It's because
of shock.
It's because all of the coke that you've been doing ruined your nose.
That too, but, you know.
All right. Thank you for holding, Cliff. Thanks.
No problem, guys.
Bye now.
Bye.
All right. I can't believe this next one is even possible physically, but Kathy in Long Beach?
That's right.
What is your story?
Oh, this is great. I'm an operating room nurse, and this guy had a shot put. Not a BB, anything like that.
A shot put is roughly the size of like a grapefruit, right?
Like it's a cannonball.
Yes, yeah, cannonball.
It's lead, and it's an athletic event where you kind of push it off your chest and try to go for distance.
How could that be stuck?
What do they weigh?
Anyway, they're heavy.
They weigh anywhere from like they're different sizes, and they weigh anywhere from like 8 to 12 pounds.
Good God!
How could any human being get this stuck anywhere?
He said, you know, the usual story, which they all say.
I fell asleep when I was drunk.
I slipped and fell.
No way.
Someone shot a cannon up my ass, he said.
He had a shot put up there?
A shot put, and we could not get it out.
So how did you get it out?
We had to do surgery with the, you know, through the abdomen, make a big incision.
Through his stomach.
Open up his belly and pull it out.
And forever after, women are like, hey, how'd you get that scar?
Yeah,
you
no
know? Because we think they're sexy, and then you find out.
I fell on a shot put.
I think modern medicine really is a miracle, but there's some people that shouldn't be saved.
Yeah, really?
That guy should just had his fecal matter back up until it just
until
killed
he
him.
Dies.
Because we had no room on our planet for people that stupid.
I'm really sorry. There's nothing we can do for you. All right, Kathy, thank you.
You're so welcome.
Bye now.
Bye, guys.
Heather.
Good morning.
In Huntington Beach.
Okay, it's so disgusting. One of my best girlfriends is an ER nurse, and she told me one night when she came home that these two guys who were obviously alternative lifestyle had taken
were they goth? What are you trying to say? I'm really not getting it.
They were boyfriends.
Oh,
got
I
it.
That's really not even that alternative anymore.
Yeah, okay. Really.
All right.
And they had taken like a thing of wet cement and a turkey baster. And decided to squirt it up one of their rectums.
I'm sorry.
Sure.
Wet cement?
Wet cement.
Sure.
And
so they wanted a statue of their love.
They wanted a mold
canal?
Of their innards.
I have no idea. It was like the weirdest thing. And get this. One
this
of
is
them
flawed logic.
Yeah, no kidding.
One of them was a construction worker.
Well, there you go.
Lisa, you're telling me that guys that would bend over and put wet cement up their ass have flawed logic somehow?
This is what I'm thinking.
Chad, I was laying some cement at the work site today, and I was thinking, honey, why don't you bend over and let me pack your ass with cement? And I'm going to carve my initials in there and put my feet prints. It's going to be like Grauman's Chinese ass.
All right, Heather, thank you. Bye-bye now. Veronica?
Good morning, party people.
Hey.
You worked in a hospital or your friend worked in a hospital?
No, I work in an emergency room.
All right.
We had a nice 50-ish-year-old gentleman who came in with a vibrator stuck up his rectum. And
hold a second. We're trying to get him started here.
yeah, right there. Right there. Oh, yeah. Hey, where'd it go?
Is it the Black & Decker Polestar vibrator got there, Kevin?
Industrial strength. All right.
It was still on, and the poor guy was sitting around, you said, for about 3 hours before he actually had the nerve to come in.
You mean it was
still
on?
Running?
It was stuck on?
It was stuck on.
Yeah, he didn't, it wasn't about his nerve. It was about him like, hey, that's all right.
I like that.
If I got to live this way, at least it's still on.
Well, the x-ray was awesome, I got to tell you guys. But the poor guy, he left after about an hour because they told...
Because the batteries died?
Yeah.
No, he came in just so they changed the batteries.
Would you please put in a new pair of batteries?
No. Leave it. Leave it.
I just need new batteries.
Thank you, Veronica. We appreciate
Thanks.
It.
Lisa had to, get a rubber duck removed, I think, recently. Didn't
you,
Lisa?
Oh, that rubber duck, man.
She hasn't told us that yet, but.
I have special pants made now.
Erin in Los Angeles.
Yeah, we have a pathology professor who would bring in x-rays. Mm-hmm. It was an x-ray of a woman's abdomen, and she had dentures in her vagina.
Whoa. Ouch! That's my biggest nightmare. That's my biggest nightmare.
A full set of teeth?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Honey, I think we have a problem. I love you very much, but I got you got something I need back.
How could that have happened otherwise, right?
That's it.
Somebody sneezed.
And one thing we've learned is not all pandas are cute and cuddly. Sometimes they're just big and mean.
Have you been following the story about the pandas in Thailand that won't have sex? They're trying desperately to get them to have sex so that they can continue the pandas.
Species, yeah.
Well, pandas are notorious for not procreating, and especially in the wild. It's very, very difficult to get them to mate. They have low sex drives to begin with. They're one of those sets of animals that only has sex like once every couple of years or something like that, and very rarely does it end in a pregnancy, and it's very, very difficult. That's why they're on the endangered species list, partly.
Just because they won't do it with each other. Now they're putting one of the pandas on a diet because he's too heavy. He'll crush her if he has sex with her. Yeah. So they're putting them on a diet. So we thought we'd check in Thailand with the zoo. Good morning.
Hello.
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 Is this the Thai zoo?
Yes, this is Thai zoo.
Well, we're calling to ask about the fat.
Who's laughing there?
Nobody.
Who's laughing?
It sounded like somebody on your end.
No, I think it was your end.
Okay, all right. Sorry.
Is this a zookeeper at the zoo?
No, this is Chang Chang.
Oh, this is the panda.
Yeah.
You're the fat panda. Okay.
Yeah, panda.
First of all, Adam Carolla got a lot of trouble for saying Cheng Cheng. Are you sure it's okay for us
on
here?
No, that's his name.
That's my name.
Oh, that's your name. Okay.
I think you got trouble saying Ching Chong.
Which is not. That's completely different.
Cheng Cheng.
Okay.
Okay.
Very different.
You are not only a fat panda, but you speak English.
Well, not so well. I try speak English.
Mm-hmm.
I learn from porn films.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that because it said some of the people there at the zoo in Thailand were honestly considering showing you panda porn.
Yes, to teach me how to put Wing Wang and Ding Dong.
What? What is panda porn? Where do they exactly get that from?
Well, pandas show up at door and say, "You here? I deliver pizza for you."
Right.
Then woman panda say, "Come in. Would you like some bamboo?"
Right.
And panda delivery boy say, "Yes, but I have a stock for you right here."
Okay. They have the same porn music we do.
It's universal.
How about that?
But
Cheng Cheng, is the problem that you need the porn because you don't know how the pieces fit together? Or is it, as I understand, that you're just too fat for your mate?
Well, they show me porn to give me an idea.
Right.
But the only idea I got was to eat more and just take care of business myself.
To have pizza. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, we did.
I just kick back and wax on, wax off.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
How much weight do you need to lose before you won't kill your partner having sex?
I got to lose about 10 kilograms.
How much is that?
I don't know.
In pounds.
In pounds. Yeah. I don't know. I am not from your country.
I see. Okay.
You right. Do some math.
I don't know how to do that.
Lazy motherfucker.
I'm sorry, did you say frack?
Bracker, yes.
Okay.
Bracker.
You're watching the Battlestar Galactica too. I see.
No,
okay.
Maybe that's the problem with your sex drive.
Maybe.
Yeah. Cheng Cheng, don't you feel like you have some obligation to keep the species alive, though?
Nope.
I mean, really, because worldwide, pandas are an endangered species, and it seems like we need panda babies, and that's in your department.
That's tough. Tough darts.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm living my life.
Is Mrs.
I can't worry about the species.
Is Mrs. Panda not attractive to you?
She needs a wax.
No. She's a hairy bitch.
Well, she's a panda. She's a bear.
But still.
She's not a woman.
Come on. You know? Clear cut the forest a little bit down there. You smell like a zoo.
Oh.
Or maybe it's the zoo.
Yeah, that could be. Like you're in the zoo, so that could be it.
I think the problem is my cage keeper keeps feeding me too much.
Oh, is that right? You keep eating too much.
He gave me this thing called Thai stick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is, but it tastes good.
Yeah, and that makes you want to eat?
It makes me want to just lay around and eat.
Yeah.
And not have so much bang-bang with Ling Lo.
Yeah, I see. That Thai stick, I think, is pot.
What?
Why is the Food Network the hottest channel in America all of a sudden? What the hell's going on?
Well, they're bad on a lot of levels.
Or could.
Last hour we were talking about this Rachel Ray, who I know nothing about.
Yeah.
But Omar hates so much he cut her picture out of a box of wheat bins. Now we're going to talk about, we played a commercial the last couple of days, and it's really, really difficult to ignore it when we play commercials like this. I mean, we listen to it and we say, no.
This can't be true.
No possible way. There is.
Oh. Ace of Base, right? We're talking about Ace of Base?
No. The Ace of Cakes, Bean. It's the Ace of Cakes.
Yeah, not the same thing.
Oh, I misunderstood. This is the guy who calls himself the Ace of Cakes we're talking about.
Yes, yeah. He's the bad boy of baking.
Ooh.
All right, well, let's hear his commercial. What's
listen
he all about?
To this.
What do you get when you mix one part rocker with one part welder? And oh yeah, throw in a pastry bag. Meet Doug. There's no cake he can't make. Follow the life of Food Network's bad boy baker in an original series that takes the cake and blows it up.
Okay. Duff.
So,
really?
Duff is the bad boy of baking.
I didn't know such a thing existed.
There's no cake he can't make. Let's say good morning to Duff Goldman. Good morning, Duff.
Okay, all right. Oh, listen, Duff, doing a radio show, you're going to have to watch your language, but we do have it right.
Okay, you are. Man, I'm the bad boy cakes, man. I'm the Ace of Cakes.
Okay, but aren't you just making cakes? I mean, you can be as bad a boy as you want, but at the end of the day, it's really just a piece of cake, right?
No, man, I play by my own rules.
But
I'm not the normal baker. I'm the bad boy of bakers, man.
What makes you the bad boy of baking?
Man, I don't play by your rules.
What? I don't have any rules for baking.
I make my cakes my way.
Right.
Sometimes I make a cake and it needs flour.
Yeah.
I use unsifted flour, man.
Oh, my God. Now I
That's
see where
crazy.
You're coming from.
I'm an outlaw.
But isn't the point of these shows, these cooking shows, and the point of just making a cake, isn't it just to make a cake that sounds, that smells good, tastes good, looks good?
That's it. Man, you don't get it. I'm expressing myself through my cakes.
Yeah, but I don't understand why you need drills and chainsaws to make a cake. Just get yourself a cake pan and a spatula and a measuring cup.
I'm insane, man. I'm the Ace of Cakes. I'm but, the bad boy of baking.
But, Duff.
Sometimes I'll preheat an oven. Supposed to be 350. I'll go 355, 400. I don't care, man.
Wow.
But then, you're crazy.
Don't you burn the cake?
Shut up, bitch. I can do what I want. I'm the Ace of Cakes.
All right, listen.
I'm a card and it must be dealt with.
Listen, Duff. Here's the thing. Cake. It seems like baking to me falls in the same category of, I don't know, sleeping or meditation or having afternoon tea. There's no bad boy of any of that stuff.
Oh, you don't know shit, man.
How do you do that?
Oh, man, I don't care, man, because I'm crazy. I play by my own rules. Hey, right now I've got a souffle in the oven.
Right.
I don't care about the noise, man. Let it fall.
If I were to have a blind taste test between a cake that you make and a cake that, say, Rachel Ray, who's also got a show on your network.
Rachel Ray,
listen.
Oh, geez.
Listen,
that's
Duff,
not what we're talking about at all.
Duff, we have to watch our language. We're on the radio.
I put my chocolate log right in her oven, you know?
Oh, okay. Duff. Who's a better cook, though? Whose cake would taste better is my question to you.
Mine, man, because mine's built with insanity. Craziness.
All right, well, it sounds.
Sometimes I make a bundt cake.
Yeah.
I don't even put nonstick spray in the pan.
Are you kidding me?
Stick. I don't care, man. I'm the Ace of Cakes. I'm a card that must be dealt with.
And the one thing I'll say about our show, just a few days away from Christmas, is we've got you covered with lots of different kinds of Christmas music.
know what time of year it is? Hey, Bennett! You know what time of year it is? Oh, Christmas time! Christmas time! You know, I never liked Christmas time. I don't know what it is, but Christmas always gives me the blues. I remember one Christmas Eve, years ago, back in Jersey. I was walking home. It was so cold down along the beach. The wind was whipping down the boardwalk. And I was broke, man. I didn't have no jacket or coat or nothing. Man, I was freezing. And I was feeling pretty sorry for myself. But then I remember I saw an old drunk homeless guy walking towards me down the boardwalk. And I could tell he didn't have no money at all. He had this beat up old coat and his pants were falling down. But he looked up to me and he said, "Merry Christmas, boy." And I looked at him with his pants falling down and I realized, well, at least I had a belt. So I took off my belt and I wrapped it around my hand and I beat the snot out of that old drunk and stole his coat. Turns out he wasn't that poor after all. He had $43 in his coat pocket. And I took that money and I got myself a hooker and a bottle of Night Train Express pear wine. I ended up killing the hooker later. I felt bad with it being Christmas Eve and all, but she looked at me funny. And those Christmas blues, well, they always make me cranky. At this time of year, my temper runs high. If you screw with me, then you're gonna die. Christmas blues are getting me down. Christmas blues are getting me down. Christmas blues are getting me down. If you think you'll cross me, you better think twice. I'll bite off your face, put your balls in a vice. Christmas blues are getting me down. Christmas blues are getting me down. Christmas blues are getting me down. I'll jump you in an alley. I'll drown you in a lake. I'll set your clothes on fire. I'll poison your holiday fruitcake.
Poison your holiday fruitcake.
Even if you're Santa Claus driving his sleigh, it's Christmas time.
A lot of people say, Kevin, Bean, how do we tell you apart? Bean is the person who's been in a porn.
Kevin is the guy who paid to rent it, and then, boy, was he disappointed.
You know, people ask us all the time, Kevin, Bean, what are you going to do when this gig falls through? We have different answers. I don't know yet. Bean apparently has chosen porn.
Now, come on.
I never would have guessed you to go that direction.
Isn't that funny? Would you think that Bean, the guy who has all the animals, for those of you that have trouble keeping us apart, the guy who has all the animals would ever get into porn, but I'm holding in my hand a box.
Mm-hmm. And I'm the guy who gets none of the chicks, too, by the way.
America's, that's true, too.
America's Most Wanted Bad Girls, Larry Flint, presents Jail Babes.
Ooh, jail, babe.
And there's a woman on the front that's nude. And then on the back, you see various sex scenes starring, you know, the women that are in jail. Also starring Katie Gold, Lexington Steele, Dave Hardman. And in bigger letters than all of them, B-E-A-N.
Bean.
Of the world famous K-R-O-Q.
It and, says that?
And K-R-O-Q are the biggest letters on the back of the box. And then below that it says Kevin and Bean Show.
Wow.
You know, there's something about the jail babes. I like them skanky.
Isn't that the oddest thing you've ever heard? So I put, so I pop in jail, babes, and I hear this.
Good morning and welcome to K-Rock. We're about to go on.
This is the guy who is promoting jail, babes, on our show. You remember they came in on the program.
Yes.
Well, a long time ago.
They filmed the whole thing. Imagine you're at home, you got the jail, babes.
You're lubed.
You know, you got your pants around your ankles, you're ready to go. And the first thing they show you, I'm not exaggerating, is like 8 minutes of an interview that we do with the one of the girls in the video.
Well, that seems silly because you've already bought the video. Yeah. So what do you need the promotion for?
It goes on and on and on. First they give us a little of this music.
We got to have that.
Then they go to the studio. This is Bean off the air talking to them about a Women in Prison magazine
that I subscribe to.
Oh, that's one of those where you can, like, pen pal them or something.
Really interested. Keep a note. This is the beginning of the jail, babe, video. This is an adult porn video.
And I'm sitting at home right now, even I, who'm in the video, I'm sitting at home going, show me boobs.
Ladies and gentlemen. The jail babes.
And then blah, blah, blah. We go in and we interview and we interview and we interview. And I'm in it one quick shot, but I don't get the FaceTime the Bean gets.
It's so. All about the Bean.
Basically, it's all about the Bean. Right.
Now, that one picture of the guy who's bending the girl over that you can see on the video, you can't quite see his face, that's me too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's black.
Yeah.
He's got a black penis.
Part of him is black, my friend. Part of him is black.
Let's say good morning.
The part that counts.
Let's say good morning to Mark Cromer. Mark, are you the guy who came into the studio?
Yeah, I think that was me.
Yeah.
You think it was you?
Mark,
yeah, pretty sure I was.
Why
there.
Would you put 6-7 minutes of our interview on the beginning of your video?
You know, that was a few years ago. I was probably drunk or something. I don't remember.
But, I mean, what a buzzkill for the guys who buy the video.
Well, I'm telling you, we in the Jail Babes 1, I think you guys are in volume 4.
We are, yeah. Jail Babes, when you put in Jail Babes, man, you want it to go right to jail and you want to see some sex.
Well, we've learned. But in volume 1, we actually interviewed a bank woman who robbed Bank of America, and we did 20 minutes of an interview before we
You know how to put out a porn, don't you?
Hey, I'm sorry, I wanted to do something different.
Sure.
We did.
Not putting sex in an adult video. That's the way to go.
Right.
That is a way to carve out your own niche there. Now, how many Jail Babes videos did you do, Mark?
How many have we done?
Yeah.
We just wrapped 20, volume 2.
Oh, 20, and this
so it's a very successful series then.
And it's all, sex now, so you'd have to wait like 90 seconds.
Now you're getting
He's
somewhere.
He's got it now.
It only took him 20 volumes to learn.
It was study, right.
Isn't it funny? How come you didn't put my name in here, man? How come you didn't put Kevin in here?
Bean was the guy.
He was more prominently featured, and he did do more of the interview. That's absolutely true. I'm fine, by the way, with you not putting my name in.
We saw potential.
Yeah.
And,
sure. Yeah.
And we're here to help. We're still here to
help. Of course you
are. Well, the good thing is when Kevin's folks are in the adult video store, he doesn't necessarily want his name to catch their eye. You know what I mean?
See, that's funny because my folks are in an adult video store.
And part of it, by the way, is just because of the way the studio is set up. The girl was sitting next to me. It's a lot easier camera shot, too, to be able to show us both at the same time.
It's that, and I really couldn't get a question in edgewise. Bean was just on her.
I was pretty sweet for her. Now, this is part of the Larry Flint family of video. Is that right?
It was actually the very first video series that brought Flint into the video business, and now his company has since exploded. They brought, Snoop Dogg? He's got that thing going.
Hold on for a second. We have him on the other line. Bean, do you mind if we...
We have Larry Flint on the other line?
Let's go to Larry Flint since he's the man behind all of this. Larry, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're real good. We were just talking to Mark Cromer on the other line. He says you have Snoop Doggy Dogg in an adult video?
Yeah, it's a home sex video of Snoop.
What does that mean? You mean he took it himself?
Yeah.
Wow, amateur video with Snoop? I hadn't heard anything about that. And he does it with his wife or who?
This is just a bit, guys. Don't really interview me.
Oh, okay. What about Bean from the world famous K-Rock being on this Jail Babes Volume 4? Do you think that's the way you want to start putting out porn?
Yeah, well, we saw the giant size of Bean's penis, we knew that he was meant to be an adult video.
And when did you see that giant size?
We had a party at the house. Bean stopped by.
Is that right?
Yeah. He does a little show with a goat.
Bean does a show with a goat?
Yeah, it's very popular.
Larry, I haven't really talked much about coming over to your house. I'm not like that guy Ralph on our show who needs to beat his chest and brag every time he goes to the Playboy Mansion. I was just going to kind of keep it on the down low.
Well, so much for that.
I guess that's not going to work once you get into the porns.
Well, now, let me ask you this, Larry, because we were talking to Mark, and he was saying it was just inexperience that led them to put the 8-minute Kevin and Bean interview at the beginning of the Jail Babes tape. That's not how you want your porn to start, right?
Well, originally, when we first released the tape, it was at the end. And people were furious.
Because they wanted to see Bean?
They would go,
I see.
Oh, Bean. And we actually had reports of some people's penises falling off their bodies.
Wow.
That's how limp they would get.
Falling off just because they saw Bean. So you figured put them on the beginning before they get going.
Exactly. Get them out of the way.
Sort of. It's like the dinner part of a date before you get into her pants. It's just something you have to sit through.
Right. Hey, Larry, did my people call you about the human tripod series that I'm pitching to you?
Yeah, we got the footage you sent us, and it's just too disturbing.
Disturbing for you?
Even for me, it's just too bizarre and grotesque.
Aren't you the guy that puts out the magazine with all the pee in?
Yeah.
And this is too disturbing.
You can only imagine, Kevin, what I'm talking about.
Oh, my God.
I don't think I can, actually.
Turns out that the tripod does not involve Bean's penis.
What is the third leg, Larry?
It's him.
Don't say it.
Do not know.
I have to bleep it anyway.
Don't say it. Let's not go.
I don't even want to know.
I'm not sure.
All right, Larry. Well, listen, we just wanted to congratulate you on the Jail Babes. I'm a little concerned that the way it's being advertised, it does make it look different than what it is. But thanks for letting us be in your video anyway.
It's being crouching down.
Yeah.
And bearing down.
We don't want to know.
Had a big meal.
Larry, we do not want to know. Thank you for talking to us. Goodbye.